listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I am being broadcast live on People's Internet Radio and ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. I always start the show by asking for help for the stations, folks. These are viewer-supported stations, and there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. So if you can throw a few dollars into the kitties, I know the operators of the stations would much appreciate any help you can send, even a buck or two. It's my pleasure today to be joined by candidates for the next provincial party or provincial election in British Columbia. I have three Libertarian candidates in the room today. And the purpose of this call is to kind of get a feel of what the basics of the Libertarian Party are, why they've gotten involved in politics, and the general consensus of what we see going on in Canada. I am joined by Cody Craven and John. Boy, I don't have your name in front of me, John. Isn't that embarrassing? And I just had another lady join the call. John Rempel, okay, and Naomi. Now, Naomi just came into the call, so I don't know anything about her. I don't know if she's a candidate or not, but welcome to the show, folks. Welcome to
Thank you.
And I'm going to start the show off with Jody, and then I'm going to pass to John and then to Naomi, and maybe you can make an opening statement about what you really see going on in Canada, why you got involved in the Libertarian Party, and what about the Libertarian Party attracts you the most. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, Barry, thanks for having us. Hello, John and Naomi and Steve. What attracted me to the BC Libertarian Party, Naomi and I, we're PPC federal, but they have similar policies to us, right? And John, he got the most votes for the Libertarian Party last provincial election, and me and John sort of got in touch when I was campaigning. So over probably the last 2 years, me and John became friends, and he kept on trying to persuade me to join the Libertarian. Then we were just stalling and waiting to see what happens with Trudeau and the federal. Then the very last minute, Trudeau and all the other four parties agreed with Trudeau. So in the last week here, I agreed to run with the BC Libertarian Party for the North Coast just to put a little twist on the NDP and the BC Liberals. So, we had our debate and it was quite fun. So go ahead, Barry.
Sorry, I was muted, guys. Hey, I'm going to pass it to John. Welcome to the show, John.
Hello. Thanks for having us. And my name's John Rempel and I'm the candidate from the Jackal Lakes for the BC Libertarian Party. And, it's great to get a little exposure on your radio show, so I really appreciate you having us. And, I became a Libertarian after the Conservatives lost the federal election. I had been a Conservative supporter up until that point, but the way the election kind of played out, it left me really dissatisfied with both the big federal parties. It just kind of turned into mudslinging over, ethnic groups and you know, whatever hot button topics they could get going instead of real policy or things that are going to really help Canadians. So I started researching for, you know, something different, and I come across the Libertarian Party of Canada first and got talking with a few of their people, and I liked their policies. And then from then I found the British Columbia Libertarian Party, and I got to know quite a few of the people there. And I went in 2015 to my first caucus meeting in Vancouver with them. And after that, I decided to run as a candidate. And so I ran in the last provincial election here in the Chaco Lakes. And I did pretty good considering for a fairly unknown party and a first time candidate. I guess I got about 500 votes, and everyone tells me that's really great. So I thought I would carry on that path and try it again. I don't like the way our future's going with our government in British Columbia. They are taxing us to death, and you know, the government's just becoming a huge ballooning bureaucracy. And I want a future of opportunity for us and our kids. I see our kids being weighed down by so much tax debt that likely none of them will ever be able to, or very few of them will ever be able to buy their own homes or own their own properties and start businesses, because they're going to be hampered by government debt. So I am on a mission to try and change that and try and encourage people to be more responsible and not depend so much on government for all their services and their needs.
Sounds like pretty good reasons to me, my friend. Naomi, I don't know anything about you, and you've joined us at the last minute. How are you doing? And welcome.
I'm doing well, thank you. Yes, I am a candidate as well for the BC Libertarian Party in Vancouver Falls Creek. And as Dirty was mentioning, we met through the People's Party. I'm the regional coordinator for the Greater Vancouver area in the People's Party of Canada as well. And as he was mentioning, we joined the BC Libertarians because the values and the policies are very similar, but the spirit is the same. Particularly the tenets that are run on individual freedom, personal responsibility, fairness, and respect. And I think my own personal experiences that have led me to like libertarian policies, to be attracted to them, is I grew up as a first generation Canadian. My parents, they were essentially political refugees from Soviet Poland, and so what I've been seeing happening within maybe the last 5 years or so. Our policies that are being brought in by our government and distractions by things like they're creating policies that are they're using things like climate change or whatnot for some of you might know about UN Agenda 21, where it basically what they're essentially doing is they're creating policies and using this kind of of climate change or whatever other thing that's happening, or I don't well anyways and they're creating policies that are going to be creating a communist society essentially, and mm-hmm. I don't want to see that happening, creating a big government. Some things that are concerning me over in Vancouver Falls Creek particularly, or the NDP, they are like they're John Horgan, actually for the province, wants to take away, wants to abolish homeschooling for children, and wants to force all children to go into a private or a public school system instead of giving parents the freedom and the ability to pick what kind of schooling they prefer for their child. And for me, and for a lot of for people who are libertarian minded as well, that spells indoctrination. Those are the kind of policies that I don't want to see happening in my province.
I'm appalled at what I see going on in the school systems in British Columbia with SOGI 123, and the government control over our children. It absolutely appalls me. It sounds like you're the party's policies. Like I actually, folks, I haven't gone to the Libertarian website to actually read your policies, but they sound very similar to be in line with, would I be safe to say, in line with what the PPC has for basic policies in their party. Would I be safe to say that? Jody?
I would say so, but what would you say, John?
Yeah, I would say we're, you know, libertarians and Canadian People's Party. I mean, Max Bernier was basically a libertarian candidate. I mean, he follows libertarian policy. So we're kind of all on the same page there. I mean, the whole basic concept is pretty simple. I mean, reduce the size and the cost of government, promote individual responsibility and, less dependency on government, because we realize that the government is not the best provider of services. I mean, for every dollar that we send them, how much do we get back in actual services? Is it 10 cents? Is it 20 cents? I mean, so much money now just gets consumed inside government, with their ballooning bureaucracy that, very little. We're not getting a very good bang for our buck. That's the way I see it. And my whole principles is, I want to get a better deal out of our government for us and our kids. And I think, the whole other parties like the PPC party and the Libertarian Party of Canada are all kind of on the same page that way, for sure.
And we all don't like NDP, Barry.
If I could add something, because I know you folks are up north, but you probably are seeing some challenges with the opioid crisis too, and that's a major issue, as you know, down in Vancouver. And when we're talking about this bloated bureaucracy, that's something that I advocated regarding the social assistance program. It's like these social programs have been created not to help. They're not to actually have a good outcome, toward an outcome. It's more to keep these bureaucratic seats warm and to increase the budgets for their departments. And so what I like about, what I respect and I like about the Libertarian Party or like PPC kind of principles are that they want to have outcome-based funding and they respect hard-earned tax dollars.
Oh, absolutely. Some accountability and some voice in the people and actually how our money is being spent in this country would be a start. I mean, I'm absolutely appalled at what I see going on at the federal level, the coalition being that has been formed between Jagmeet Singh and the Liberal Party, basically giving the Liberals a majority power in Parliament. We're supposed to have a minority government where there's opposition, but there is absolutely none because all four major parties are involved with the globalist agenda. We all know that. We need to change that immediately.
Hey, Barry.
Go ahead, Jordan. Yeah.
Who I'm going against is Jennifer Rice. She's NDP, and we already had two debates. Then that question was brought up about opioid crisis, right? And so I threw it back in their face. I go, you guys support drug addiction, right? And I said, you guys are handing out clean drugs to all these people in East Hastings instead of helping them. You're giving them drugs. We got to find institutions and we got to fix this problem and give them a safe environment like a home instead of living on the street. And she did not know about their government giving them clean drugs. So, NDP, they just sweet talk everybody, right? They just tell everyone what they want to hear. And a lot of people listen, but they don't want to do their homework and hear the truth, eh?
Actually, John, you live in Vanderhoof, correct?
Well, near Vanderhoof, just out of Fort Fraser, actually.
Oh, cool, buddy. You're just down the road from me. I'm up in Terrace. Okay. I spent my whole summer in Fort Fraser. I actually spent my whole summer in Fort Fraser last year doing that fire just out of Fort Fraser there, the Morrells. Okay. So I was in Fort Fraser all the time last year, a nice little community. And I didn't realize you were that close to me, so... Cool. You understand what's going on up here in the north. Didn't mean to interrupt, guys, but yeah, I just saw that John's from Vanderhoof, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Close to home. What's your feelings on what's going on at the federal level right now, John?
Oh, I'm very disappointed. It's not good. They're giving our sovereignty away to the United Nations, and I find that very disturbing. I mean, we need to be a strong, independent, sovereign nation. And if we just give up all our rights and everything to the United Nations, people from other countries are going to be calling all the shots. What happens in Canada? It's already happening. And Yeah, it's pretty disturbing. And the whole liberal movement seems to think this is just great to have a borderless society. And, you know, eventually, the way I understand it is when I read, you know, Agenda 2020 and Agenda 2030, is that once they get all the carbon taxes into place, then eventually at one point we'll just be paying our carbon taxes or our tax on energy, basically, to the United Nations. And, I find that very disturbing.
Absolutely. Disturbing is an understatement, man. What I see going on with the United Nations involvement in Canada, it has to come to a stop. They have no right to say anything in Canada as to what we do with our country. The fact that we signed on to the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact should speak volumes to people exactly how our government views our sovereignty in Canada. We're opening our borders wide open. I mean, how many people are coming into Canada right now? Just on the illegal basis alone. And then between the immigration programs, between the work programs, between the school programs, we're getting over 1 million people into Canada every year. And people go, well, you know, the people on the school programs, they go home, the work programs, they go home. No, they don't. They get here, they get their foot in the door, they fill out the right papers, and they're in like Flint, and they know it. Our country is being invaded right now, and that's... You know, that's not being, I'm not a racist person. I know that our country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, that our immigration system back then, you came to Canada, you didn't get a welfare check that the moment you walked off the plane or crossed the border, there wasn't a welfare check there waiting for you. You came to this country knowing that you had to assimilate to our culture. You had to work hard to get money. You weren't going to be given it by the government. That has been totally turned around. And what we have going on in Canada right now is just rabbit, guys.
That's a prime example with Naomi's parents. They came over and they worked their heart out, right? They never got no handouts like the illegal immigrants now, or exactly. You know.
They made sure too when they were coming in that they were bringing in people that respected our values.
Yes.
Yeah, they knew they came here and they weren't going to give. They had to work to survive in the country. They came here because they knew the opportunities were phenomenal, but they knew they had to work to get those opportunities. Yeah. And
they knew so well. Absolutely, and they knew so well that they were giving up their wonderful educations, their wonderful degrees over in Poland because they didn't register here as anything in Canada. So they were giving that up to go, you know, to work multiple minimum wage jobs and work their way up. You know, go to English classes and go to school and then go to college here to get degrees to go on to better work.
See, the difference, yeah. Barry, is the people of before, they knew they come over here, they have to work to provide for their family. But now the illegal immigrants, or the Trudeau immigrants, as I call them, they come over and they know the government's going to take care of them, you know, so they don't have to do anything. They're getting more money than our seniors and our vets. That's sickening.
Jody, since the Syrian program began under Trudeau in 2016, I just read the stats on it. And of all the immigrants that have come into our country, about 81% of them are still on welfare. Exactly. And they have an average. They have an average. Like, listen, folks, don't get me wrong. I am not a racist person. But what I see is totally wrong when a person can walk into Canada with six children and get $600 a month from the government right off the bat, a big welfare check. They give them money for allowances, for housing, for cell phones, for clothes. It's just absolutely ridiculous. These people have never contributed a nickel to our society. So what are we doing? We're undermining our society. That is not racist to say that. I want to protect the sovereignty of my country. And what they're doing right now is just undermining it in so many ways. These people will never, you know, we got to call a spade, okay? And these people aren't going to assimilate to our culture. It's not in their being to assimilate because they're coming from countries where we have persecuted and killed possibly their aunts and their uncles. And they're set in their culture and they're coming here and they're not going to assimilate, folks. So it's a recipe for disaster. And that, my friend, is not being racist. I'm not a racist person. I don't hate anybody. I love all people. But I want to see Canada formed on an immigration system that will benefit the future of the country and not take away from it. It's costing us billions, folks. Go ahead. My thoughts on that.
Are you familiar with that example, too? There's a family, I can't remember exactly where in BC. I believe they were from Somalia or Sudan. And they have, and this article was in the Vancouver Sun, and they were praising this, which is bizarre to me. But this family had been here for 2 years already. They came in here, I think, with 8 or 9 children, and they had more coming on the way still. The mother was pregnant again. None of them were working. They all claimed, like the parents claimed that they didn't have any English, so that that was their reason for not getting work, even though they had 2 years to learn. And and that they didn't have anybody, like they have all those children, the older children, to take care of the younger ones. And they're getting $10,000 a month from the government.
Yeah. Well, you tell me, folks, what is wrong with this picture? When we have people, we talk about the illegal situation. When the illegals come in, they walk into this country and they get treated better than veterans that laid down their lives or lost a limb to protect the values that we currently have that we're losing at light speed. Where's the rationale in that, folks? And why is
Some even get $10 million.
Well,
I'm almost better got $10 million.
I'm just throwing out the question. I'm going to let you guys respond to that now.
Well, I think that the our immigration numbers, you know, the people we allow into our country every year, should be directly connected to our unemployment numbers. If our unemployment is getting high, you know, if it goes above, you know, 5 or 6% unemployment, well, then we should cut back on immigration. If our unemployment, you know, gets down to, you know, 3%, well, then, you know, hey, we got to let some more people in to fill our positions. But
well, what we need to do is, you know, what we need to be doing as well, like to that end, is letting in economic immigrants, economic migrants, and not just like it's a free for all right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's a bit, it's a giant. Well, look, folks, if you were sitting in some other country where you can't feed your children, all you have to do is get to that golden border, and your whole life changes, and everything's given to you on a silver platter from a government. Why would you not want to try in any means possible to get here? Period. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, and the strain it's putting on our financial systems, on our health systems, is just absolutely insane. And then you look at the atrocities that are being perpetrated against Canadian people by new people in Canada. Why is that allowed to be going? Why is that going on? This is, you know, this never happened when I was a child. It is really a massive agenda being played on us, guys. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And we're letting in criminals from Roxham Road continuously too. That didn't stop during the COVID-19 crisis. You're familiar with that issue?
Yeah. No, I read that story, and the government is allowing known criminals into the country. So what's going to happen? They're going to come to Canada all of a sudden and become not criminals? And I mean, we're going to see Canadians start to die in larger numbers. And what is it going to take for Canada to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to take this anymore, period? If there ever was a time for civil disobedience in society, I believe we're there, guys. We're there. Because it is really getting out of hand. And you know what? I'm not a kind of guy that gets fearful. I am not. But I am in fear right now for my country. I'm in fear for what's coming for my children. I see the rapid acceleration of globalist agendas. I see what Trudeau is doing to our economy, how much money has been spent by this government. I mean, we've got a prime minister in 4 months spends more money than all prime ministers in Canadian history before him in a four-month period. You've got to realize that there's a massive agenda being played on. A scam. Scamdemic.
Yeah. And that's why we're all libertarians. That's why what brought us all, I think. Well, anyways, I can speak for myself, but that's definitely why I support the People's Party and the BC Libertarian Party.
Yeah, if the principles are like I said, I haven't actually gone, guys, to your website and read your platform. I have to apologize for that. But I have read the PPC platform, and if it's very, very similar in their value structure and what they see going on in Canada, what they want to do with our immigration systems, how they want to stop all the United Nations involvement in Canada, I'd be 100% on board. What do you think right now, Jody? What's your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Naomi there, like that Roxanne Road, it never closed. And in our borders, Trudeau said they stopped all flights coming in, and that was BS too, right? Because I was in Vancouver at the airport, and China was kept on flying in here, right? And Frankfurt. So I took a screenshot in the airport when Trudeau announced all this stuff to tell people our borders are still open, right? Even I even talked to people in Ontario. They said people were crossing that bridge, you know, daily. So, I don't
know. Oh, the RCMP are there carrying your bags.
Exactly. And they're refugees from the USA. That's
yes.
Doesn't make sense either.
Yeah.
Well, but, coming from other countries, but like there's nothing that to be running away from. Like there's the safe third country agreement for a reason. Like there's nothing happening in the U.S. that would cause people to come into Canada other than maybe our wonderful welfare system.
That's the big ticket. That's the one that's bringing them across the borders because they see what they get when they get to Canada. And it is a huge magnet. Why would you not want to come from a third world, a country like the U.S. where they don't have the welfare systems that we have right now? You'd want to get here. And all they have to do is walk across the border and you're in. Something's got to be done about that, guys. Period.
Mm-hmm. They're scared of Trump kicking them out too, right? So then when they hear about our prime minister saying everybody's welcome, well, you know, open the floodgates.
Yeah, you know, Trump, you know, there's going to be some real interesting things happen here in the next couple of weeks, folks. I really honestly believe that we're going to see some crazy stuff happen, especially in the United States of America, which, of course, has a direct effect on what's going on up here in Canada. If they release the Clinton emails prior to the election, all hell, excuse my language, is going to break loose. Whether this is going to be done by design, that's a question I'm asking myself today. Do they want to stop the election? If these emails were released, would we see total chaos in the States? Would it erupt? What do you think about this, gentlemen? Are you following that story?
I think Trudeau's just sitting on a lot of, Trump's sitting on a lot of information. And once he gets reelected, watch out. There's going to be a lot of people going to jail. BLM, Antifa, no holds bars if he gets in again. So
yeah, I wasn't trying to change subject there, honest, Jody. It's just something that really kind of caught my attention. Dennis, I wonder if you guys have been following that at all. There's so much coming out. You hear about Trudeau and the Chinese gaming mansion that was busted with, I forget how many million dollars in cash, a ton of illegal weapons. The same guy that donated $1 million to the Trudeau Foundation. That guy? Yeah. Well, and boy, oh boy.
Just there was paperwork being brought up that Trudeau was in cahoots with China to try and bring Trump down.
So, yeah, that. Big story, Jody, and I don't think that one's going to go away. Guys, what is it going to take for Canadians to sit down and go, what have we heard about Trudeau since he's taken over this country? It's just continual corruption at the highest levels. We could talk about Aga Khan. We could talk about SNC-Lavalin. We could talk about the WE scandal. We could talk about General Norman. We could talk about so many instances where this government has shown the Canadian people that they're corrupt to the core, and yet everybody's still worried about who's winning the hockey game. How do we get to the masses? How do we make them realize that what we're dealing with right now is the most important thing in their life, bar none, because we're in a war, and the enemy is inside the gates. How do we wake them up? My question. I'd love to hear some feedback on that. Somebody help me with that, okay?
I think we're going to have to go through the democracy voted in these people from my background, I would say that unfortunately we're going to have to have them go through with their socialist agenda, with their globalist agenda before people actually. I don't think that we're going to have to do our own grassroots movements, but we're being censored everywhere. So basically the only way that we can spread any message or try to wake people up is just to have personal contact and through our families and our friends and hope that they do the same thing. But on the larger scale, people are already indoctrinated, it's really difficult to convince them otherwise. We're not going to, and I think they're going to have to feel the consequences of socialism and communism, God forbid, if that were the case before anybody wakes up.
Yeah, you might be correct. What do you think, John?
Well, you know, in Canada, you know, the United Nations and globalism, that's kind of where it started. So it's hard to put that fire out here. I believe it was a Canadian that come up with the original idea to start the United Nations, if I'm correct. I can't remember his name right now. But, you know, we have a problem in this country where people are people just want to bebop along their lives and depend on the government to take care of them. And if you talk about, you know, the problems with the United Nations or this or that or one world order, I mean, they look at you like you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. But if you go to the United Nations website right now, they actually have one world order in their banner now.
Huh. Yes, they do. Jody, what do you think?
Well, are you finished, John? You can carry on. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished, John. I thought you were finished. Excuse me. Go ahead if you had something else to say.
Ahead.
Okay.
Me? Okay. I think we're in an uphill battle, or we're totally screwed. Because at a federal level, NDP, conservatives, liberals, they're all on the same page. And in the greater Toronto area, right, 80% of the people there are non-born Canadian residents. So when they vote, they're dictating their basically the outcome of Canada's elections and policies. So they don't care about the West. They don't care about anything else. They just care about the 80% of the non-born Canadian residents.
Right.
So they're in control of us. And that should be the other way around. Everyone should have an equal say. Each province should have an equal amount of seats and say, instead of Toronto having the most. And we need, you know, this is another reason why I know Naomi and I had talked to John. This is why we're trying to combine forces, because we need at least one seat to start something. If it's PPC, BC Libertarian, Christian Heritage Party, we need one person in there to start the domino effect, right?
Or a
voice of silence, right?
Yes, and a voice is so needed right now. We see that everywhere, that conservative voices are being totally silenced. I look at the attacks right now on people on Facebook and YouTube and the channels that are being shut down, and they're really, really ramping up the agenda here, folks. We're in a lot of trouble right now. People still don't get it. I agree with Naomi. I think it's going to take a major impact on people's lives before they're ready to get involved. The only problem we have with that is that when it gets to that point, is it going to be too late to do anything about it? We still have an opportunity right now to stop this madness. We have the numbers. It's getting people involved. But I honestly believe that if we don't stop it, that window could close on us. And if it does close, I don't know if we can open up again. Look what's going on with this second wave of COVID. This whole thing is absolutely driving me insane, guys. It really is. Because I just listened to what the World Health Organization came out and said 2 days ago about lockdowns. And they've completely, again, flipped course and are now stating publicly that all these lockdowns aren't necessary, that they shouldn't be going on. Well, how is Trudeau and Theresa Tam going to handle that information, Jody? What do you think? You read that article, didn't you? I mean, my God, folks, these people flipped like records. They haven't got a clue what they're doing, and now their mandate could possibly totally be destroyed by the statement by the World Health Organization. Have you guys been following that story?
I you know, my personal thinking is, you know, especially up north here, if it doesn't affect the person personally, they don't want to get involved. But all of a sudden when it hits them, then they're crying like babies, going, well, blah, blah, blah. Well, where were you? Like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Everyone's been talking about this for the longest time. And but I want to touch on the World Health Organization. They came out about a week ago announcing the survival rate was 99.87 That's their numbers. I know CDC's numbers are 99.9 whatever. It's pretty high. But people have to understand, that's the survival rate if you get it. It's almost 100% survival rate, you know. And we can't shut down the world. We got to get the small businesses going. We got to get everyone working, right? It's just people got to get it in their head, like, you'll survive if you get this. It's another strain of a flu. That's what it is.
That's all it is. You know?
All it is.
They have not been able to isolate.
I don't know any of the numbers or anything, you know, but here, looking at it from my perspective, it's very obvious that because of the lockdowns and stuff, we have killed far more people off with drug overdoses. We've caused people to commit suicide because they've lost their businesses. We've caused people to commit suicide because they broke up with their spouse because they have no money and everything sucks. The death rate from all these things is going to far surpass anything that's been caused by COVID. I mean, that's very obvious. Yet the government officials, that doesn't fit their mandate.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Obesity. You know, people die of obesity more than this COVID-19.
Well, people are dying from a lot more things. People die from hammer attacks more than COVID-19. Come on, guys.
Yeah, it's a BC joke. Highways. BC highways. People die more on the highways than this COVID-19. Are we going to shut down the highways?
If people are dying from obesity, then we should all be suing McDonald's, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Come on, this thing, I'm going to let Naomi speak for a second here. But to me, guys, this is the biggest scam ever played on the human race. I am a numbers type of guy, and I have studied the numbers. I've listened to the doctors. I've looked at the whole perspective and the fact that the CDC has come out and stated that they cannot isolate the virus. In other words, how can you produce a vaccine to treat a virus that you cannot isolate? Coronavirus has been around for 20 years. If you've had a cold, you've got a strain of the coronavirus in your body right now as we speak. It's so crazy with the
coronavirus has been around almost 90 years, Barry.
Okay, I stand corrected, Steve. I thought it was 20 years, okay?
Nope. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, stand corrected.
That's because this isn't about a virus at all. If I can quote from the BC Libertarian website, because I really like this little excerpt, we should of the tendency for governments to find emergency powers incredibly useful in achieving their unrelated goals, goals that could not be achieved through the regular functioning of democratic participation. Tolerating emergency powers for long periods of time raises the prospect that such powers become permanent, as with Bill 19, with an irrecoverable loss for civil liberties. So that's what they're going toward. I don't think at all that this has anything to do with protecting people from the virus.
I agree with you 1,000%. Absolutely. This is nothing to do about this virus. I've looked into the virus a lot, and my understanding is that this virus cannot be transported airborne, that you have to have that virus on your finger, touch your eye, or touch your mouth with that virus on your finger to transport or to be exposed to it. So if that is true, then everything they're doing is absolutely barbaric, and they should be taken to a court of law and held accountable for what they're doing to society. Because what you said there a few minutes ago about what it's doing to our suicide rates, to the mental stability of families, what it's doing to all aspects of our society. We weren't designed to be locked down like animals in cages and then put a muzzle on our face so we can't interact with each other. One of the most important things about interacting with another person is facial expressions, and they're taking that away. It's all part of a huge agenda to just destroy us and bring us down to a level where they can do anything they want to us. And that's what I see coming. What do you think, Jody?
Well, yes, I agree. But if I may, I want to switch something here.
Go ahead.
I want to say the provincial NDP and the federal NDP, they're voting down every major pipeline, forestry. They don't want industries anymore, right? And we got them on record saying this at a federal level. So anyone listening that's NDP, you know, don't look for future jobs from NDP because they're not looking for the workers, because I was NDP at one time, right? But in the BC Libertarian Party, correct me if I'm wrong, John, I think we have 25 candidates running, and then there's three, I think there's three Christian Heritage Party. So any listeners that are watching, I want to plug, vote for these people. And if you really want to change, this is the start, right? We got to get one person in, right? Then you guys have a voice. But if we go by the standard NDP liberals all the time, our country is going to go down and no one's going to have a life. That's the real facts, right? You know, we're not going to have our normal life again. But sorry, Barry, for going off topic.
No, absolutely. I tend, guys, sometimes I tend to get off subject a little bit. So if I do, bring me back, because really I want to focus on the Libertarian Party and how you guys see what's going on in British Columbia. I'm going to put a question to the panel here. What do you feel about the government allowing all this Chinese involvement in British Columbia? And there's too many instances to actually talk about right now, but we see it widespread in British Columbia. What would the Libertarian Party do about that? I'll start with Jody, and I'd like to pass it to the other two.
Well, I think this is a more for a John answer question, but I think we have to, you know, invest in our people first, right? You know, and stop having ties with the communist Chinese government, right? Our land being sold by are being bought up by the Chinese government, and we're going to have no candidate left. I don't know. It's all like it's too much information to say they're buried for people to understand. Like, immigration has to get cut down, right? Invest back into our people. Look after our own people. You know, they have a country. Let their government, you know, look after their. It's just too much to say at once, right? And people have to start doing their own homework instead of listening to the politicians for 1 minute on a rebuttal, right? That's what I'm pleading to the people. Start doing your homework. You know, Agenda 21, 2030, the fake climate change, right? Climate's always been changing, right? It's just all propaganda, right? If Trudeau's so corrupt, why are we listening to him and Tam, which is, you know, maybe one or the other, you know, guy, girl, I don't know. But why are we listening to these corrupt politicians, you know, and they're telling us what to do? Because all we are is sheeple to them. We got to stand up and start pushing back. Like October 17th and 18th, there's a freedom rally in Vancouver. So I hope people are listening, participate in it, right? And Naomi will be there, so say hi to Naomi.
Oh, so will Barry Prince.
Thank you.
And Barry Prince will be at that rally next week, guys. And
yes,
I'm gonna
sir.
I've been asked to speak, and I am on the Sunday apparently going to speak for a few minutes, but I'm going to be doing a live show from the rally next Sunday, guys, so I'll plug it right now. I'm looking
Great.
Forward to it. Get to meet all kinds of cool people. So, Naomi, I will see you in Vancouver this week coming up.
See you there.
And, John, you want to ride down to Vancouver? I'll pick you up in Vanderhoof and take you down.
I would love to, but I am far too busy. This election could not have come at a worse time for me. I have several things that I got to get done before wintertime. And, So I've been pretty much hammered down at work. But getting back to the Chinese thing, I just wanted to add a comment in there.
Okay, let's go back there.
You know, basically, I think the Libertarian stance is on that is that, you know, we believe in free markets. And so, you know, the government shouldn't be trying to control what's happening within the marketplace a lot. I don't have a problem with a Chinese person coming to Canada and buying a business or investing in a business here. I don't have a problem with a Chinese company coming and doing business in Canada. What I have a problem with is the government-owned companies coming and doing business in Canada.
Yeah.
For example, one of our local mines here, I mean, the company that owns it is 33% owned by the government of Kazakhstan. You know, they don't have a very good record. You know, Canada needs to stay in control of its resources. So,
exactly.
I mean, if a Chinese businessman wants to come to Canada and do business here, I don't have a problem with that. He wants to come here with a bag of money and spend it, invest in our business. I think that's great. But the assets have to remain in Canadian control.
Absolutely. When they start owning our ports and our corporations and our businesses in Canada, I have a big problem with that, my friends. I do. So go ahead, Naomi. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Sure. Yeah. And the unfortunately, all of the establishment parties, they're essentially Politburo. They're all going to be supportive of these kind of policies, which is another reason why I'm libertarian and People's Party. And I agree with John on his thoughts on the it's more harmful to or the threat. It's more harmful of having the Chinese government infiltrating our resources and whatnot. And that's and they're especially the media. I'm really worried about them infiltrating the media. I think that they had bought some advertisement, which they sometimes they buy advertisement, and then but it looks exactly like a reputable newspaper article. So you're looking at it, and then at the bottom of tiny letters, it says paid for by the PRC. I believe the Globe and Mail was caught having something like that, or there was something else that was happening in our papers as well, another form of their infiltration, indoctrination of their tyranny. Starting at a little level, but it obviously goes up from there. And being in Vancouver again, I have to say I do believe in limited government. So some regulation, and I think there needs to be effective regulation to, because what was happening here was all the Chinese investment but it was very much manipulated. And there were all these loopholes in the regulations here for them to buy out the housing market and raise all of our prices within a few years. You couldn't afford to live here anymore. When I was 18 or 19 years old, I was planning on putting a down payment down on a house. Forget it now. There's no possibility. Unless they, win the lottery, maybe or get into office. Who knows? Right. The immigrant investor program, but that's on the federal level. That was a big issue too. And Harper, he did stop that. However, the in Quebec, they are more sovereign when it comes to some of their laws, so they were allowed to keep the immigrant investor program. And what those what some of the Chinese nationals were doing coming through there, and then following over into Vancouver to purchase property, so they were doing that loophole. Huawei actually is another issue, but Huawei. So like some of these large Chinese companies, the Chinese Communist Party, they have ability to take over businesses, or at any time a business can become a spy agency for the Chinese Communist Party. So when there's these issues like Huawei too, we have to be mindful of that and to be critical and skeptical of them.
I agree too with what John said about individual investments from the Chinese people in Canada. I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, what we see going on right now in British Columbia, I mean, I've heard of a couple stories, and I've actually tried to confirm a couple of them of Chinese buying mines in British Columbia and hiring only Chinese people and having the mines actually guarded by Chinese people in British Columbia. And I really have a problem with that, folks. I do. We have to protect our resources from foreign investment that have no interest in Canada, that they're just sucking the money out of our country and our government's allowing that to do. And we could talk about mining. We could talk about logging. We could talk about all aspects of how our resources are handled by the powers to be. And it has to be changed, period. We see this going on across the country right now. So it's something I wanted to get your thoughts on. So there you go. Jody, yes. When is the election in British Columbia? How long are we away from that now?
Well, it's October 24th. So, and there's early voting going on already, there's, what could I say, NDP, a vote for NDP is a vote for federal Liberal, and you can see it because Japmeet Singh agrees with Justin Trudeau on everything, so NDP might as well just go Liberal. There's no difference. People have to start. What's the new word nowadays, Naomi? Woke? Woke?
Woke, I believe, yeah.
They got to wake up, man.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired, Barry, of telling the truth to people. It's exhausting, and they're just too lazy to dig up the real facts, right? And the real truth is out there, right?
Yeah, sometimes. Go ahead, Glenn. Go ahead.
Oh, it's not even necessarily that they're too lazy, but it's just that they've been so indoctrinated to adhere to authority, not to question authority. Don't think for yourself because authority's already done it for you. A lot of feedback actually that I was getting out in the streets, even some of the more affluent areas, you know, where people maybe perhaps, you know, have had very good education, and you think they could think more critically. But they don't, and they actually outright say that they want the government to make these decisions for them. They don't want to think about it and make decisions for themselves, and they trust the government and that it has integrity. And we're in Canada, we don't have to worry about integrity, which is absolutely not true.
It's the way they've been conditioned to think. And we've seen that Canada has had such a soft time since the Second World War that, you know, we haven't experienced turmoil inside of Canada. So people don't recognize the enemy right now. Unfortunately, a lot of Canadians are still walking around with the belief that the government is actually working on their behalf. And we've got to break that paradigm. What do you think, John?
Well, I think that it seems to me the majority of Canadians, if they heard it on the CBC, it is the absolute truth. According to that, it's wrote in stone and it's fact. But we know that that's not true. I mean, the CBC is just a propaganda machine. I grew up listening to the CBC for my whole life, and there are programs on the CBC that are very dear to my heart. But I do not listen to the CBC anymore, because every time the news comes on, it's just a half an hour of propaganda. And when you have the federal government funding the CBC to spread their propaganda, they're going to do a very good job. And, I mean, I know lots of people that they're good friends of mine and stuff, but, hey, they're totally indoctrinated by the CBC, and that's very sad, because we people need to think for themselves. Nowadays, you know, you can't trust mainstream media. I guess we're on media here, so I should be careful what I'm saying, but, you know, when it comes to the big mainstream media, I don't trust them, none of them.
You can say whatever you want here, because we're not mainstream media in any shape or form, and hey, you're absolutely correct, John. Go ahead.
I like to add on to John's thing there. Like, Naomi and I, we went back east to protest against the Trudeau government on July 1st, right? I think we were, 2,000 people, Naomi?
At the highest point in that protest, we were about 10,000.
10,000? Okay, sound corrected. And we got zero coverage by CBC. Right, zero coverage, right? Then a few weeks later, and hey, you know what? I was pretty impressed with the Quebec people, right? And they had one for 50,000 people.
Or more.
And zero coverage, right? And I'll tell you this there, Barry. We went to our rally, and I'd say only a few hundred were wearing a mask, but no one else wore a mask, and no one got COVID. No one got COVID. So,
well, COVID doesn't, in my honest opinion, folks, COVID is not even real. And I think Steve, my producer, would love to say something on that. But I'm going to get him just to add one quick comment on that, Steve, because I know you'd love to say something about that. And then I've got about six minutes left in the show, guys. I'll let you have a last quick second to share a thought, and we'll have to shut it out. But, Steve, tell them how much COVID exists real quick.
Well, Barry. Yeah,
30 seconds.
Okay. Somebody mentioned it earlier. Not sure who it was. They haven't isolated any virus. They don't have a picture of this. They have a picture of every single virus that is known to science, but not this one, mysteriously. You cannot. They have made it illegal to try to FOIA any information, Freedom of Information Acts. They have made that illegal. They haven't proven to me that it exists.
Absolutely, I agree, Steve. Thanks. Okay, guys, we're down to about 4 minutes here. I'm going to pass the talking stick around the table. I'm going to start with Jody. Give you a minute to share a few thoughts and where people can find you. And the other two people on my panel, please do the same, and I'll close out the hour.
Okay. Well, thank you, Barry, for asking us. And Steve, thank you very much. I like to say a few things. I know John personally and Naomi personally, two great people. So anyone in their riding, if you're listening, vote for them. Please vote for these guys. And in the provincial, vote BC Libertarian, our Christian Heritage Party. These are the only two parties that are going to make a difference. Then one last thing, if anyone's listening, next weekend, I believe, October 17th and 18th, if you're available, go to Vancouver because there's a huge mega freedom rally, and it's for you, right? It's for our freedom. So if any listeners want to change, vote BC Libertarians or CHIP. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jody. And John?
Okay, right on. Well, as everybody knows, I am the candidate for the Chaco Lakes for the BC Libertarian Party. And take a few moments to check out our platform at www.libertarian.bc.ca. We got a pretty complex platform there. Covers COVID-19 and return to normal, empowering free speech in the age of a cancel culture, ending ICBC's monopoly, modernizing liquor laws, cutting taxes and spending, restoring patient choice in health care, getting BC moving with their transit systems, holding government accountable, liberating energy, reforming social assistance, giving more diversity in education, modernizing wrongful death laws, legalizing unpastured milk, and a whole bunch more. Anyways, if you stand up for free minds, free markets, we're the party to vote for. Check it out. Have a great day, everybody. And thanks for having us on, Barry.
Well, thanks, John. That was well said. Naomi?
Very well said, John. And thank you, Barry and Steve, for having me on last minute, too, and for hosting. And I'm going to be seeing you, Barry, in Vancouver, so keep in touch with me, okay? And for next weekend. And I want to do a big shout-out as well for your station and for being an independent media. It's a big thing to do these days. You're not taking any of the government handouts. I want to say a big beef on the CBC. Another thing that I wanted to kind of put in there was that, like, how did we go from these programming like for children? We're talking about SOGI 123. How did we go from programs like the Friendly Giant and Mr. Dress Up to drag kids and these political commentaries with children that are bashing J.K. Rowling for saying that women are women and men are men? These are the kind of things that are coming out, yeah, with our mainstream media. And it is so important for the listeners here. It is so important to support independent local, especially the independent media like the show that you're hearing today. This is the only way that you're going to be hearing real news that isn't going to be biased towards the government because they're getting handouts because they're what else are you going to do when you're getting a handout from the government? You're going to sue their regurgitate their message. Absolutely. Because you want to have that money in your pocket, right?
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Diane, for joining us.
Barry.
Jody.
Yeah, I forgot to say, vote for the underdog. I'm in your candidate for the North Coast. So any listeners listening, vote for me.
Okay.
Yes. Can I say that too? Yes. Vancouver Falls Creek, Naomi Hudson.
Okay. I am out of time, folks. I wish we had more time. We are. I'm going to have to let you go because I got two other people coming in. I got Vinny Eastwood coming in with Billy TK, the leader of Advanced New Zealand Party, coming in for a minute. So I got to let you go. Thanks for joining
me. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks for joining me. Okay. I'll be back in about 3 minutes, guys. I got to run. The bathroom's calling my name. I'll be back with Vinny Eastwood and Billy TK in a few minutes here. In my eyes, indisposed, in disguises, no one knows. As the face, as the snake, in the sun, in my disgrace, boiling heat, summer stench, neath the black, the sky looks stared, call my name through the come back second hour, folks, and I enjoyed that conversation first hour. It's good to hear from people locally and around British Columbia on how they see this provincial election coming up. But it is absolute my honor and my pleasure to be joined by Vinnie Eastwood, who I've had on my show numerous times before. I love talking with Vinnie. And today I'm joined with Billy TK. And Billy is the leader of the Advanced New Zealand Party. I know this party has only been around, and I'll let Billy talk about it extensively, but I believe it's only about 140 or 150 days old now, Billy. Welcome to the show, gentlemen, and I'll start off with Vinny. And how's life been? And I've been listening to your shows all week, Vinny, and I've been listening to all the candidates that are involved with this party, and what I'm seeing is a real grassroots movement in New Zealand. Welcome to the show, my friend.
No sound from you, Vinny.
The word I would use to describe Billy, the party, the candidates, the movement, the people involved in this whole apparatus here is visceral. Everybody is very real. They're doing what they're doing, not for money, not for fame, but for good reasons, like, for example, the freedom of their country. And that's what makes them so much more difficult to dispel and disparage and demonize. And yet the media does try. We even have some articles coming out here today on the mainstream media. False Prophet is titled with Billy, and Election 2020, Billy Tikaika campaigns on truth, but does he live by it? And as we can see, the mainstream media are pulling out all the stops, all the dirty tricks, and we haven't seen the last of it yet. This is the last week of the election, and on Saturday, when we had our protest in Altair Square, every single Facebook moderator and editor and admin of the Advanced New Zealand Public Party page got their personal accounts, as well as the page itself, restricted simultaneously with the restricting of the YouTube channel and the Instagram for 24 hours, right at the time when we were trying to do a big protest to tell people about the threat to their future. If that is not an endorsement of this party of the greatest magnitude, I know not what is.
Just a coincidence, Billy. Vinny, Billy, welcome to the show, and I've been looking forward to talking to you, my friend. I've been listening to you talk a lot, and I've really enjoyed your understanding of what's going on in your country right now. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, and I'm a great fan of Canada and British Columbia, and have spent a bit of time in Canada, and just love the place, so it's wonderful to be on a show like this. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no. How old is the party right now? How many days since it's been established?
Yeah, I think we're in week 16 or heading into week 17. So we're very, 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 very young. It's
109 days.
Yeah. So when we think through it, you know, the journey that we've been in for the last number of weeks, it's. You know, the beginning, when we think back to the first day it all started, it seems like another lifetime ago. It's been rapid. It's been immense. It's been intense. It's really – there's nothing you can compare it to. It's really, really out there. It's, you know, as you said earlier, it really, really, truly is a people's grassroots movement. And, you know, people are waking up very, very quickly now to the fact that we are dealing with an intense attack and threat like we've never dealt with before. And I often say in my live presentations that not since the world wars and have we had anything remotely like this aimed at New Zealand and aimed at our population, except the threat that we're dealing with now is within the borders of our country. It's not on some foreign, far-flung shore. It's here right amongst us. And we have a prime minister similar to your very own Justin Trudeau. You know, it looks very, you know, very appealing in terms of, you know, just looks like an ordinary sort of, you know, post-millennial person who has a kindish face and the perfect wrapping for a poisonous core. And right, that's what we've got here.
Yeah, no, what is the general feeling amongst the population right now, Vinny? in your experience? And Billy, what's your feedback you're getting from the general population, people on the streets?
I wouldn't know because I don't watch the TV and I don't generally get out into the general population. I'm mostly in contact with the people who already know what's going on and are trying to survive the threat that they face in their minds to a large degree. But Billy, on the other hand, he has far more firsthand experience on that account.
Okay, I'll get Billy to weigh in on that question.
Well, probably what's happening is, you know, people are just, you know, they are battening down and, you know, standing strong. They're waking up in droves. You know, people are starting to realize that I'm not controlled opposition, which was a big theme. People, I mean, the media attack this morning that we've got through one of our main media streams has me as a person who doesn't pay my bills, which is completely untrue, a violent bully, you name it, I'm it. And, you know, all this other stuff. And this is the, you know, this is an interview I walked halfway out of last week because, you know, I don't mind interviews and I certainly don't mind answering the tough questions, but it was just a setup and a hit piece. And, you know, I just thought, right, no, I'm not going to put up with this nonsense, you know, where it has no, has no basis in truth or objectivity or even real journalism. It's just bizarre. And but what's happening out there amongst the street, people are absolutely resolute, just like we are, and resolute in the sense that we know that we've got a communist government that wants to sign us up to agendas that will destroy the Kiwi way of life, in particular the United Nations Agendas 21, Sustainable Development, and Agenda 2030. We know that these agendas will, if fully implemented in New Zealand, will radically change the face of our democracy and freedom here in New Zealand. We also know that we have a communist prime minister that is leaning very, very heavily in favour of Chinese occupation of New Zealand through commerce. We know that that our prime minister has allowed Chinese Communist Party elements in our country to undermine business, undermine even the safety of Chinese New Zealanders that have relocated here to escape communism in China. We're hearing stories of threats and intimidation by Chinese communist agents in Auckland that are intimidating the Chinese community here. And, you know, we've got the sexualization of our children going on, and it's just unbelievable, you know, just really unbelievable what's going on here in New Zealand. And the media is complicit to it. You know, someone's just asked, why did I walk out? Well, I walked in to do an objective interview with a media company, and as I say, I don't have any problem answering any tough questions and dealing with them and rebutting them. I don't have any problem. But when it's completely, you know, there's no ounce of sort of chance of objectivity, you're just wasting your breath. And I'm, you know, and I wasn't going to stand there and allow a woman that looks very unstable to me and unwell try and deconstruct me as a human being. That's not right. And so I got up and left that. But in terms of down on the street level, on the grassroots area, people are unifying, they're uniting behind Advance New Zealand because they know we are the last bastion of defence against full implementation of tyranny in our country. And I know I'm a marked man as I'm sitting here, regardless of what happens this Saturday. You know that I've put my head above the parapet, and you know they're gonna try and do their best to chop it off. But I've got no choice, and I've got six beautiful children, two grandchildren. I care about everybody else's children and families, and if we don't stand up and fight this, then you know we basically deserve what we get. And I wasn't prepared to roll over and just pretend it's not happening. It is happening. It's real as I am sitting here talking to you. And, you know,
if I may, Billy, just after the protest we had, I believe Joe Trinder, remember how he was the guy who was trying to call you a white supremacist at the same time somebody else was trying to call you a Maori separatist? I don't know how that works, but anyway, he was asking me, Vinny, how can you identify the communist here? You know, I don't want to like run into the communist threat or anything like that. How do I avoid all these communists that you're saying are a big threat? And I go, well, they're invisible because it's an ideology. Where are all the Christians? Where are all the Muslims? You know, the thing of that kind of thing. You can't really tell unless somebody either wants to physically show you by wearing a communist T-shirt or a Chairman Mao cap or something like that. Whereas for the most part, it's an individual's choice, and our beliefs are invisible. And he's like, "So you're saying communists are invisible, are they?" And I was like saying, and I like went, "Well, you see the wind affecting that tree behind me." You can't see that, can you? All right. But you know that it's there because you can see its effect, just like we can see the effect of communism on our country and on our people's minds. I think it's starting to manifest as a sort of, I don't know, like a psychological nepotistic mental illness that passes from generation, from a teacher to student, from friend to friend. And they're being afflicted with this madness that they think that rights come from government as opposed to from God. In a legal speaking term, man can take away your rights if your rights come from government. Man cannot if they come from God. And that is the mental illness that these people suffer from.
Absolutely, Vinny. And Billy, I have to applaud you for your courage, my friend, because it takes to stand up against the status quo. We know what you're subjecting yourself to, and I applaud you for that. And Vinny, you're absolutely correct. I couldn't agree with you more. Were a result of what we have done to society. And I say this is not something that's happened overnight. We haven't seen this slip in society happen in a matter of years or even a decade. What we see going on right now is it was laid down in think tanks, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago by psychopaths, and how they were going to condition society to get us to where we are right now. And they attacked our health. They attacked our moral standards. They attack everything that is good about being a human, they have attacked. And henceforth, we find ourselves now in a society where people really just their brains are scrambled. They can't think for themselves. They're programmed right from the time they're born. And it's a really, really hard task for us to teach them to unlearn. To deprogram people is the biggest task we have. And I just love what you're doing, Vinny. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I've been in your chat rooms and I've been listening to the candidates for this party. And everything I'm hearing is straight grassroots movement, standing up for what it means to be a human. And I just applaud you, gentlemen, for what you're doing.
It's like straight truth, Barry. I mean, I was saying that the road to the top of the mountain of truth is unpaved. It is uncharted for everybody. All of us must ascend the mountain of truth on our own and find our own way. But once you're on the top, you'll find that everybody who has also made it to the top of the mountain of truth has the exact same viewpoint as you. That's why we agree so much on the real issues that this country and indeed the world truly faces, because New Zealand is a microcosm of this world. If the domino falls here towards tyranny, the world may fall. But if we can push that domino back, they may fall the other way and we could free this whole planet.
Yeah, and that's what the international people that contact me are saying, that, you know, everybody knows New Zealand is a test bed. You see, what's happening in Victoria is really interesting in Melbourne with the crackdowns and what they're doing there. But that's very obvious and very straightforward to sort of assess and evaluate. You can see an attack on freedom. But what's happening in New Zealand is very, very insidious.
I want to tilt your camera down a little bit there, Billy.
How's that, mate? Is that a bit better or the other way?
You can see it. You can see it, how it is supposed to be centered. There you go. That's good.
What's happening here in New Zealand is really, really insidious. You know, it's this tentacle of the octopus that's spreading through every aspect of our society. You know, I mean, if you look at some of the things that have happened in Canada where you can marry a tree, or marry your dog, you know, I mean, we're not far from that here in New Zealand. It's the functionalism of incrementalism, you know, where they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing into rights and freedoms, to the point where, you know, suddenly it's acceptable that that all of them political parties are talking about building up and not out. All the political parties are talking about tax. So it's normalizing tax and compliance and behavior manipulation. And I've been amazed over the last few days as I really look closely at the other parties. Almost all of them are talking about, you know, population manipulation through tax. You know, I mean, that's not a free market economy. That's not what democracy is meant to be. And these are parties like the Opportunities Party saying that they need to increase tax on properties and housing so that it forces people to put more money into business. Well, isn't that my choice to make? You know, the interesting thing too is that they're pushing along with the Green Party here this whole concept of, you know, we need people to build up and not out. You know, and that's Agenda 21, you know, theology right there and then. And it's absolutely unbelievable. Like I was saying before we started this interview, Barry, with Vinnie, we were talking about it. And you know what I've learned in the last few months. You know, I already knew a lot. But, you know, when you really start to look at the underbelly of what New Zealand really is from a political and governmental position, I don't think anyone around New Zealand, unless you put your head in the rabbit hole as far as we have, would have a clue of what's going on here. You know, we've got...
As Morpheus said, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, Billy, you're in my prayers right now, my friend. If ever I've prayed for a miracle, you and this party taking power in New Zealand would rock the world. So you're in my prayers, my friend. Period.
Thank you so very much. And it's gonna take a lot of prayer. I mean, this is a spiritual battle. There's no doubt about it. You know, we've got a government that's trying to teach children, little kids, teach them about masturbation, mutual masturbation, transgenderism. We now have transgender toilets being built in our primary schools, which are very young, sort of 5 to 10 years of age children. You know, come on, you know, what are we doing to our babies? And this is all out of the United Nations Convention for the Rights of the Child stuff. Now, I'm all number one for protection for children, for, you know, nurturing them, for teaching them decency and all that. But what they're wanting to do to our babies is indecent. And it's just, you know, it's unbelievable. It's a government of death. It's a government of perversion. And, I mean, even if you take the fact of our faith out of this discussion, you know, even if you just put faith aside, if you can, even from a normal Kiwi decency perspective, what's going on in New Zealand is the most indecent thing we've ever seen from a government. And what you have is that you have this illusional voting and political spectrum with all these parties. But what's happening is you know, you've really got, you know, crappy option A, crappy option B, crappy option C, crappy option D, and all of them aren't talking about fixing and repairing and dealing with the corrupt system. They're only interested in getting into power, getting their money, getting their positions and setting themselves up for life. And that's why I hate politics and generally don't like politicians, because instead of getting in there, which is what we want to do, which is to fix the blinking system, deconstruct the faults and the cracks and deconstruct the this constitution that isn't, which should be a protectorate for the people, which isn't there. Instead of talking about fixing the system, repairing the New Zealand Bill of Rights, and talking about sovereignty, you know, no one's talking like that. And it's like this is I really feel like this is the chance that we've got in this election to do this. I think it's such a momentous thing that this movement has done. It's the people's movement. It's not my movement. It's never been my movement. I'm just I should be and want to be the greatest servant of it, so that I can at least air the concerns of the people and get it out there. And so it is. We need prayer. We need action. And prayer is only good with action too. And you know, we can have faith and trust in God that He's going to do His thing, and He will see His will be done. But at the same time, we've got to do all we can to make sure that we support the good.
Yeah, you know, when we start talking about children, the abuse of children, I have a really, really hard time talking about that subject, my friend. I do, because this emotion wells up inside me. And I just want to jump through the microphone. And these people that are doing this to my children, I want to grab them by the throat, but I can't. It absolutely drives me insane what I see going on with the sexualization of our children and the programs that are in our schools. And this is right across Canada right now. They're implementing these programs. It's only being implemented by a very, very small percentage of the population that know how to manipulate its system to achieve their evil, evil, evil agendas. This is insanity. And to me, it's the one thing that I really, I want to see people stand up. I guess my call would be to parents, to mothers. Do you know what they're doing to your children? I mean, does any of this make any sense? It doesn't, but it does if you're perpetrating an agenda of destroying the family, and that's what they're doing. Vinny, what do you think?
I think that G. Edward Griffin was right when he formed Freedom Force International. Those without power cannot defend freedom. And all of the other minor parties and various activists that I've been alongside for the last decade plus have accomplished approximately bubkiss, because they haven't accomplished power yet in order to give force behind their beliefs. And the way that you do that is by doing what Billy's doing. Be calm, stick to the facts, stand on solid ground, have a good team behind you, have a good message, polish yourself up, don't look like a raggedy homeless person who's just turned up to the debate, you know, that kind of thing. And lo and behold, the huge amount of public support has actually come in because all the elements fell into place. I believe we will achieve power. And Billy reminds me of the story of Cincinnatus, who was a retired Roman general. The city came under attack, and Cincinnatus was called back. He was given emergency powers. All powerful he was. He defended the city successfully, and then he gave the power back to the people, and then he went back to his farm to live a peaceful life. Twice more, three times in total, he was called to defend the city, given unlimited power, defended it, and then gave it back and returned to his farm. I believe that Billy is our Cincinnatus.
I would have to agree, Billy and Vincent. I would have to agree with that. I had a question for you, my friend, and it absolutely just slipped my mind. That happens when you get old, Vinny. I don't know why that happens to me once in a while, but I get listening to you talk, and then all of a sudden the question's gone. So excuse me for a second.
Well, there was one more point that I wanted to add on to that.
That's terrible, is that, absolutely able to
this
do that.
Movement Go embodies ahead. This movement embodies a phrase in New Zealand. There's two key phrases in New Zealand, one that leads to disaster and that one that leads to keeping yourself safe from a scam or something bad from happening. The one that leads to disaster is "she'll be right." And the one that leads to you keeping yourself safe from scams is "yeah, nah." All right, and that's what this party, in terms of New Zealand culture, really embodies. It embodies the real spirit of, yeah, nah.
Well, okay, you make my day right now, Billy. Do you, on a scale of 1 to 10, be honest, what are your chances of actually winning this thing?
I think, well, our goal is to
get that to you, but I really want to ask you that question.
Yeah, no problem. So our number one goal, look, if we could win the election, that would be great. It would take a godly miracle and the raising of people's consciousness and the eyes opening at an unprecedented level. But our media goal is to get into government, have enough MPs to really, really cause trouble for them. So I think we've got about, out of 10, I think we've got a 9. That's what I believe. I think we really do have a 9 to achieve that. I think the government itself has been influencing polls and influencing the media. You see, here in New Zealand, the government recently gave the media sector $50 million to assist through the COVID-19 pandemic. And you know, the amount of loyalty that $50 million buys is quite extreme. We had a left-leaning media base anyway, but that's certainly been, you know, supercharged with 50 million reasons to go that way. Right. But, you know, this is a people's movement, and it's caught fire. No one can predict it. No one can fabricate it. You can't fund it. You can't. I don't think it will ever happen again like this. What's happened in the last 16 weeks, I don't think could be planned. I don't think is able to be planned. I don't think you could ever do this. It's got to be real from the core. It's got to be real in the core. And I think what we're going to see this week is for decades, you know, we haven't had this, but I think this Saturday, what we're going to see is a proper people's movement that is there to serve the people, warn the people, care for the people, look after the people, be the watchdog of the people, and also be the dog that'll bite the hand out of bite the hand of the of a out of control government. That's us. That's Advance New Zealand, and I believe we're going to have that for the first time in decades, and I think we're going to be in there to keep freedom open just a little bit longer. That's for sure.
Wow. Well, all I can say is it'll rock the world, Billy. And like I said, you're in my prayers, and I'm hoping that this actually happens. That what I'm seeing right now is people embracing real grassroots thoughts and ideas that none of the parties are putting forward. And I really hope that this conversation is going on at all the dinner tables in New Zealand right now, and we see a miracle happen in New Zealand. I've never been so excited about what I see going on there. Like I said, I've been listening to all the people that are involved in the party, and there hasn't been anything said yet that doesn't resonate with me. So I really, I'm just hoping and praying, my friend. Vinny, what do you think about all this?
I think that there are three key issues in the New Zealand political sphere at the moment, and naturally, because they're the three most key issues, they're the three issues that are kept out of the spotlight that no party mentions, with the exception of Advance New Zealand. That would be communist infiltration of our government, Agenda 21, and the true jurisdiction of New Zealand being granted in 1835 by the Waka Putinga flag, which grants sovereignty to all New Zealanders under the protection of the Crown, not a corporate entity, a protectorate. These are the three key issues. No other party is talking about them. And I'd like Billy to explain those, and also the People's Commission, if you could.
Yeah, so the concept of the New Zealand People's Commission is to create an agency that has its own jurisdiction and authority to investigate and prosecute on a retrospective basis, going back maybe 30, 40 years. We have to look at what legally we can do, or how we can equip this agency to be able to go back as far as required. Because what we need to do is, there are a number of things that we now identify that have been done to New Zealand people and to New Zealand that is criminal, that is treasonous, and that is dishonest. And what we want to do is to be able to set up a completely independent of government commission that has all of the jurisdictional authority and capability to research every topic that we think that may have been of a detriment to New Zealanders. And they need to be a mixture of medical people, science people, business people, law enforcement professionals, to be able to come in and really take things apart. I want to know why this government has not modified and adapted its approach to handling COVID-19 when the science is out saying that the WHO are saying lockdowns don't work, elimination strategy doesn't work, lethality of the disease is the same range spectrum as the winter flu, and yet our government is destroying rights and freedoms, destroying our economy, creating such distress and fear through misinformation without any sort of conscience at all. I want to know why. I want to know who, and I want to know how this has happened to our people. I also want to know a whole range of other things around how we've been influenced by Chinese businesses, which are Chinese communist businesses in New Zealand. I want to find out who, why, how, when,
and especially about Huawei.
Huawei is a great go-to topic. I mean, you know, when you get President Trump, who says that he's not going to give any intelligence to a country that's involved with Huawei, he's taken a direct shot at New Zealand because he knows, because our Prime Minister makes it very, very clear she holds President Trump in contempt, she's hostile to the US government, which means she's more friendlier to the CCP, which is evident in the behavior. Don't listen to the rhetoric of a politician, watch the behavior. And so what we need to do is to set up a people's commission that's going to investigate all these issues ranging from Pharmac, how Pharmac operates, which is our pharmaceutical dispensary, if you like, for the government.
Kind of like the Food and Drug Administration of New Zealand, but yeah, just drugs.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, we want to find out, you know, how the 1080 poison get approved for use in New Zealand on our landscape. Also the GMO aspect as well. Why did our former Prime Minister, Helen Clark, what pathway and steps did she take to follow that led to GMO crops being introduced into New Zealand at a time when there was a moratorium? There's a whole bunch of issues there. That's just some of them. The 5G topic, you know, we're not anti-tech. That's not the issue here. We're not anti-tech. We're all about technology, no problem. But the two issues that we have that we need to substantiate on an independent basis is one, immediately, is the human health security aspect, to make sure that humans are safe to be living in proximity to any 5G technology. That's the 4G technology. We need to be able to substantiate that with independent scientists and health professionals to make sure that every type of human testing option is availed and tested upon. You know, not just testing guys that are 30 years old, 6 foot tall, and big, strong, healthy. We need to be able to test those with that are elderly, comorbidity people, you know, that could be affected by EMF. You know, we need to substantiate all these and update our policy on that, because the policy as it is right now is based on 1992 legislational standards around human health impacts. So we need to fix that.
Just to back that one up, that standard, you say you've got a Bluetooth microphone or something like that. Those are 30,000 microwatts a piece. The standard currently says that 1,000,000 microwatts is safe, the theory being that if it doesn't burn you or cook you instantly, therefore it is safe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's stated. The second thing is around privacy. We need to look at the privacy security of ordinary citizens and see how 5G technology can be applied to invade the rights and freedoms and privacy of ordinary New Zealanders. We need to make sure that this technology cannot be abused. We know that our government is fast introducing facial recognition technology and bio-optic technology, and we just need to make sure that there are standards and perimeters for how that that technology is used against the people. So this People's Commission will be set up as an independent agency, have all the authority and funding it needs to do it, to do its job, and work on behalf of the people to keep the government honest. The other question that Vinny mentioned there is around sovereignty, and we're very fortunate in our country, of course, that we have a treaty document called the Te Tiriti o Waitangi, the Treaty of Waitangi, but there are important documents which predate it, written in 1832 and 1835 by Māori leaders and chiefs, that guaranteed sovereignty of the hapū, which are the equivalent of what we call bands in Canada, and this documentation also guarantees not only sovereignty for us Māori indigenous people, but can also include non-Māori as well in our sovereign country. And this is a lawful document. It's a legal document. It's well understood, accepted, and enforced in English law at the highest levels. It's not a pretend thing. It's real. And what we need to do is educate people about what that means for every individual in New Zealand. And the People's Commission would work alongside to make sure that this document, the sovereign document, is maintained without any sort of erosion or undermining by the government.
Now, I believe also we've got facial recognition technology, and that's going to be coupled with a social credit system that's going to be used to control people in their daily lives. Oh, don't walk across the street and do that. Oh, you said something bad against the government. You can't use the buses now. You know, that kind of thing's coming. And I believe what we need is fecal recognition technology to identify all these people who are just complete pieces of crap who want this kind of technology so that we just don't have to do business with them, you know?
Well, I think we should start with lie callers on all politicians that get zapped as soon as they tell us a lie. That would start a lot of the problems being solved because there isn't one out there that's ever, I think, told the truth. And I'm getting heck for not talking in my show, guys, but really I brought Billy in here today because I really like to hear him talk about exactly all his thoughts. Everything that Billy has talked about in the last 15 minutes resonates with me 100%. I understand all the different attacks that have been orchestrated on us and where they're coming from and the end game. And I applaud you, sir, for what.
Thank you. Oh, we had a bit of a bump there. Are we all good?
Still there, Barry? He's been having a few technical issues today, hasn't he, Billy?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody, thanks, guys.
Oh, now he's back. Now he's back.
Okay.
Sorry, what were you saying, Barry?
I was going to ask Billy for comments on. I forgot exactly what I just.
It's like technical issues of mixing up with the personal issues here, I see.
I've never professed to be a professional radio guy. I'm just an old up here in northern British Columbia that's looking at the world with a little bit of common sense, and I don't see any. But what I'm...
Oh, no.
We're losing them. That's northern British Columbia for you. I've been up there. I've been quite a bit up north in BC. And it's beautiful, but it's rural, and I guess they have the same troubles with signal like I do when I'm at home.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was having a problem with. The other last two points that we wanted to cover, other than the People's Commission and the Whakatipu Treaty, is Agenda 21 and the communist infiltration of New Zealand. These are the other two key issues that the country's facing, that the other parties, all of the other parties and the mainstream media are not giving the attention it needs.
Oh, you know, they're not. They're just not, you know. You know, I said it the other day in one of my lives. I just cannot believe the media here. I really can't. It's like there's nothing decent about it. There's nothing objective about it. There's nothing. You know, there's just no honesty and integrity in it. It's just absolutely amazing. It truly, truly is. It's like nothing you can expect. It's, you know, if it wasn't for you, Vinny, there would be very little any channel for us to be able to get our message out and to be able to talk to people and talk about Advance New Zealand. So we're very, very grateful for that. I don't think we've had, in fact, no, I lie, we've had one objective piece really, but in terms of a journalist sitting down with us and really trying to understand what it is we're fighting for, there's been none of that. There's been really none of that. There's been no, hey, mate, look, what are you guys doing? You know, why have you taken the stance? Why are you saying these things? How can we understand better what you're saying so that we know that that what you're saying is either full of it or is it true or whatever? You know, we've never had that. No one's actually sat us down and said, hey, look, why are you saying these things? And if they did that, we would be able to say to them very clearly, it's because of this, it's because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that we're saying it, and it's factual and it's real and it's of great, great importance to New Zealand people to know about these things. So, you know, you're not going to get that from New Zealand media. It's the worst thing. It truly is. They're part of the leftist agenda to pick up on everything that doesn't matter. I mean, on the way back to Whangarei yesterday, we pulled aside and got some lunch at a bar. And it was during the game, the Australia and New Zealand rugby match. And you know, I sat there and people were yelling and screaming and having a good old time watching the rugby. And I thought, these people have got no idea what's been aimed at their babies. They had their kids there. They had their children sitting there. They've got no idea. And I just could not believe that they, you know, here's an example of the overall agenda working, where we're so distracted by sports. We're so distracted by watching, keeping up with the Kardashians, to freaking know that this government and the other governments that are complicit are trying to rob us of our freedoms and all these other things. It's quite amazing. It really is.
Yeah, it's like Jordan Maxwell said. He said that the proliferation of so many forms of entertainment has been designed to distract you from thinking too much and getting in the way of important people and their plans for you.
Exactly. The great distractions. I talk to people in the coffee shop, and they're more concerned about who won the hockey game last night than what they are about going on inside our country. They are completely complicit to it. I shake my head some days and why people can't see, but it's so obvious that, like you said earlier in the show, Billy, the enemy is inside our gates, and people still don't see it. We have a path in front of us to wake them up.
Well, we see over here, even mainstream media today, this is world news out of the New Zealand Herald, COVID-19 coronavirus, World Organization doctor backflips on virus lockdowns, don't use them as a primary control. Now, this is, of course, the exact same thing that we've been reporting on our shows, that Advanced New Zealand just got censored for 24 hours for saying things like, and now the mainstream media is reporting it. Are they being censored by social media too? I don't think so. That's how you know that there's double standards. That's how you know that when they're telling lies, we're telling the truth, we'll receive the consequences, not them.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Billy.
No, definitely. You know, the censorship that we've gone through, especially in the last week, is just unbelievable. We've always been censored. We've always been shadow banned. We've always been closed down and all that, but the last week and a half has been just unbelievable. You know, our reach for the last 2 weeks has almost dropped 50%, yet we're still getting over 1 million people engaged a week, which is like, you know, unbelievable. But it's like that, you know, we've got great supporters that don't get notifications anymore from us. They don't even know that, you know, they're not hearing anything unless they actually drop in and go to our Facebook page to see what's happening. You know, that's all been closed down and restricted.
So when we're not banned, we're shadow banned, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're shadow banned, and it's just unbelievable, you know. And they will be answerable to this. You know, one way or the other, they will be held accountable for electioneering, tampering, and, you know, it's interference of the highest order in the democratic process. You know, you've got media that are purposely trying to achieve what they're achieving. You know, you've got to discredit, you know, Advanced New Zealand every way you can. We've got candidates being left out of candidates' evenings. We've been missed out on debates and kept out of debates because they know that we're going to turn up and say it the way it is, and they're petrified by it.
And we saw Jamie Lee Ross on the debate that you were simultaneously, a different debate, and apparently he was barely given any chance to speak. Cut to the next person right in the middle of it, but he did very well. And then when they had a poll coming out, and Jamie Lee was on number two coming up in the poll in terms of who people supported, they then pulled that poll completely and then put it up 48 hours later. And then Jamie, instead of having about maybe half of support, maybe 50%, it was down to like 2% or something. So they're fudging the numbers. It reminds me, I don't know if any of the American or Canadian listeners will recall some of the previous campaigns of Congressman Ron Paul receiving number one ratings in polls, and then they would release the poll results with number two, number three, number four, and number five, and leave out number one. And people wonder who won the poll, and you just don't know, because you're talking about something so important that destroys the narrative that people are supposed to be sleeping to. They're being told bedtime stories, Billy, and you're waking them up.
Oh, I loved it the other day. I've had three national TV debates, and I've been really, really quite stoked that I've been able to get a couple of key messages over every time. Number one, This is a communist socialist government. Number two, the government of death. Number three, the COVID-19 narrative is now misinformation and fear. And number four, of course, the United Nations agendas are being forced on us. And number five, our rights and freedoms are being taken away. So those are the five things that I've been able to get in on national TV, to plant the seed in the minds of ordinary people that there are so many good people that are just in a mild sleep state right now, and there's a lot of them that are waking up. We just need to pray that they can wake up and see the truth between now and Friday, really, when campaigning ends.
Yeah, exactly. And we can see from the propaganda that comes out of the media that while we are indeed busy planting seeds, they are also busy salting the fields.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, look, I don't even – I'm focused on one thing, and that is getting rights and freedoms protected, our economy protected, our borders open again safely, our vulnerable people protected, and freedom restored. And what we need to do is just be focused right now on encouraging people to go and place their votes. Advance New Zealand, two ticks every time, get in there, do it. And, you know, be motivated, tell other people to do it as well, you know, share the truth and encourage people to take a stand against tyranny. And that's our focus. We've got, it's almost 11 o'clock now and half a day is almost gone shortly. And so that means we're going to have 4.5 days of campaigning. So we've got a lot of work to do. We've got lots of miles to cover over the next few days, and I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I really believe that there's going to be quite a shock for people in the government this weekend.
I hope you shock the world, Billy. I really do, because the world needs a shock right now. We see the same agenda being played out all over the planet right now, and it's accelerating at light speed. Yep. They're taking away our freedoms, and people don't see it. Our grandfathers are rolling in their graves right now. We're giving up freedoms that they died to protect, and people still don't get it. So all we can do right now is just keep our foot right to the floor, because in Canada, we are starting to really see a mass awakening of people. And we see that in general conversations and chat rooms, that people are starting to pay attention. The rallies in Canada are growing in size, and people are really starting to get involved. This is a battle right now, folks. That I don't think, honestly, myself, that we have another couple or 5 or maybe 6 years to correct these problems. That a fight right now that we can't lose, and if we do lose it, the future isn't one that I would wish on my worst enemies. And I don't say that lightheartedly. I honestly believe that this is we're almost into a do or die situation. Am I being overstating in that? Am I overstating that, gentlemen?
You're dead right. Absolutely, you're right, because, you know, that's how I feel about it. I don't think we are going to have another opportunity the same way that we have right now to do it. I think there is a reset opportunity now. It's either going to be reset for good or reset for bad. And, I really, really do think that this is it, guys. Whānau, all those people out there, family that are watching this, we did it. We've done almost everything we can do. We're 4.5 days away now from the biggest day of the year, of the decade, if you like, more so than any time before. It's just amazing. And so we've got to get out there. We've got to make the difference and then leave it in the hands of God, because, you know, he doesn't want to see families destroyed and distressed and decency lost, you know. And there is a plan, and, we just need to make sure that we do our bit and we do our part, and we just ignore the monsters and the demons. Just walk straight ahead, eyes forward, goal in front of us, and we get that done. That's all we've got to do. You know, one thing and one thing only: vote. I'm going to go and vote today for myself, and just don't listen to it. You know, people that spend 30 seconds with me work out who I am. You know, and I wear my heart on my sleeve, my brain on my sleeve. What you see is what you get. I don't have any agendas. I don't have any nasty stuff about me. I don't wish harm on anyone, not even Jacinda Ardern, who I I do believe is evil in what she's doing. You know, I'm just an ordinary New Zealander standing up for all New Zealanders, you know, even the ones that don't agree with us, that aren't fully cognizant of what we're dealing with here. I defend them, and you know, I really truly do. And so, you know, what we've got to be able to do as a people, certainly in on the planet, but most particularly in New Zealanders, is be motivated and make that choice and tick those boxes this week. Otherwise, it's I'm going to be going to hide under a very, very, very big rock.
I wonder, is there going to be a rock to escape to? You know, I remember I was listening to a woman who was being stalked by the Freemasons once, and so she moved to the Rock of Gibraltar. And 1 week after she moved there, the stalkers started coming at her again. Right. And I'm just thinking about this is global now. And it says that within any storm, the storm will continue until the imbalance that created it is corrected. And I believe that this one storm will change the face of this earth.
I absolutely agree. We're going to rock the world, Billy, and I believe it. And if I've been able to help you in any shape or form by exposing this today to people that haven't heard about the party, don't understand what you're all about, my friend, you are a genuine human being. I've got today and listening to you talk before. You really do wear your heart on your sleeve. The world needs a million of you right now, sir. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure.
No, thank you very much. And I can feel your heart through the wires and through the digital platform that we're on, and appreciate it. And it's just ordinary people like us, you know, from every ethnic background, that knows that there's something very, very bad in the world happening right now. And people are waking up, and loads of us are, and we need to get back to the really basic things of understanding what, you know, what personal sovereignty is. And God gives you that. No government gives you that. That's what you're born with, and what you do with it is between you and God, as long as you don't harm or hurt other people. And you know, and that's the basic tenet of personal sovereignty, our obligation to God, our obligation to each other, and how we live. I mean, after that, you know, really, I'm a Christian, an imperfect one, yes, but one nevertheless. And I you know, would support freedom for every religion in the universe. If they don't agree with me, that doesn't mean they need to get a bullet. It means you just say, great brother, keep going, you know, catch you later. Jesus is always there for you. That's how I talk to people. And you know, and I don't, you know, just wish all humans, you know, peace and freedom with their families to live undisturbed. And and that's just so important. And you're right, mate, we do need to just keep uttering those sentiments so that people realize that anything that says that you must do something, otherwise you're going to be vaccinated, you must do this, otherwise you won't have a job, you must do this, otherwise, you know, you're going to be marginalized by society and all that, because you choose not to do something, which is part of your right to choose to or not do. You know, when we get into a situation where those sorts of things are popping up in such regularity here, like they are in New Zealand, and we need to wake up to ourselves and stand up against it, and that's the time frame that we're in. So please indeed keep us in your prayers. To everyone out there, have a wonderful day, and thank you for your support, and get out there and vote.
That's right, folks. And don't confuse peace with quiet. You have to get out there, you have to raise your voice, you have to share the message. Thank you so much for your time today, Billy.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. Bless you both. Thank you.
Cheers, brother.
I can't thank you, gentlemen, enough for joining me today. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely. I know that we're all on the same page, and we have a fight ahead of us. And this is a battle, like I said, we can't lose, and we're not going to lose it, because good will overcome evil, and I believe that. So thanks again to both you gentlemen for coming in. Vinny, always good talking to you. Billy, it has been an absolute pleasure. And my prayers are with you for this week, folks. If anybody in New Zealand listens to the show, this is the time to really stand, to make a line in the sand that we're not going to allow you to cross. If we don't do that now, well, we're going to lose it all, folks, and I honestly believe that. So thanks again to my guests for coming in. Tune in, listen to Vinny on the internet, guys. He always does great shows. Thanks again, and it's been a very, very enjoyable show today. I hope we brought some good information forward, and maybe we've left you some really good thoughts to comprehend during the week.
It's important for any expat or any Kiwi who's overseas, you can still enroll, you can still vote. Go to vote.nz to find out how. And, for that part, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to me and for accepting Billy as well. I'm not a credible journalist. I'm an incredible journalist, and you can check out me at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead. Make my news. Thanks, Barry.
You're welcome. Hey, guys, I won't be doing a show from my house next week. I'm going to the rally in Vancouver, and I'll be doing a live show from Vancouver next week. Really looking forward to that, and I'm going to be speaking at the rally, so it's going to be an opportunity to meet some of the most incredible people in Canada, and I am counting the sleeps. Thanks for joining in today and lending us an ear. I won't be back next week, same time, same place here, but I will be on the air from Vancouver, so look for me. Thanks again to my guests for joining me today. It has been an absolute pleasure. I'll be back next week, same time. God bless you all. Have a great week. Bye for now.
to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.